Hey, good morning, Don. Okay, guys, I think we're coming in for a landing here. I was enjoying the silence. Maybe one of these days we'll just sit here and look at one another. So as we usually do, let's take a moment to just kind of ground and center ourselves. Get a sense of our connection with one another. I know it's not the same being online as compared to being in, let's say, physical or material world presence. It's not the same, but there's sort of a stretch here of kind of going beyond what my five senses tell me. And knowing that there is just as much, or perhaps even more so, connection between those of us who are even not physically present with one another. You have to kind of push the envelope. It's not the same as watching a TV show and saying, oh, there's so-and-so on television. Kind of goes beyond those self-imposed limitations. And realizing that I am just as connected with those online as I am with those in person. It might not feel that way. It might not be an emotional connection. Just to give you a for instance, as we're kind of sitting with this for a minute. Imagine all of the guides and angels that are filling this space right now, who are not limited by material means, who are not limited by five senses, who are not limited by intellectual understanding. There have been stories of gurus and saints who are able to be in two places at once, or more than that. Now, the mind cannot comprehend that. But the heart knows. All the beings that I am present to in this moment, who are guiding, holding, loving, healing, you can open your eyes if you like, or you can keep them closed as I relate a particular story about this kind of connection. I first got into this work of metaphysical understanding in the early 1980s. And there was a class I was going to up in Indiana on metaphysical understanding teaching. Michael Johnson was the teacher, his name was. And Michael had a good friend, a psychic, whose name was Carol. And at the end of our class, the end of our semester, he invited Carol to come into our group. And Carol was one who spoke through a spirit guide, somewhat similar to what Paul does, except that this was more of the spirit guide would more or less take her over. Her voice would change, her energy would change. And she led us on this guided meditation of what she was calling meeting your own spirit guides. And we were all sitting on cushions, relaxed, with our eyes closed, breathing. And she said something similar to, "Now I want you to imagine that your specific spirit guide for this part of your life is present to you right now. And I swear to you, it felt as if the number of entities in that room doubled. Just, it was like, bam. And that was a real wake-up call for me that there's much more to this world than we could possibly begin to imagine. So here we are. We spent a lot of, I wouldn't say spent, we directed a lot of energy last week and last week's reflection on getting a sense of the energies behind judgment as compared to discernment. And as I said, I initially thought that was just sort of wordplay, some way of trying to make a distinction that really wasn't there. But as I was going through our material, and one piece was really interesting that I said one of our classmates, Don, introduced me to this artificial intelligence program. So I decided, I think I'll plug in. What's the difference, okay, between judgment and discernment? And it was like, bam, all of this really wonderful information came out. But essentially, for me, the difference is knowing with my heart and knowing with my head. And that judgment by its very nature tends to create dualism and polarity, whereas discernment is much more of an internal, unified kind of connection. And judgment is sort of the same thing yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If it was good, bad, or indifferent yesterday, it's going to be good, bad, and different today. Discernment might change. In other words, how I, with my heart, how I might respond to a particular person or a particular situation might be different today than it was tomorrow or yesterday. So it's, there's a whole different kind of energetic flow to that kind of understanding. We're going to be entering into that phase or that sense a little bit more even today about getting, what shall I call it, a deeper awareness of how we define ourselves and define our connection with one another. And again, this is not about understanding something with your physical, intellectual mind. It's much, much, much more than that. So unless we have anything you want to catch up on, which I'm always open to, and by the way, I'm always open to you emailing me if you have an individual question you'd like to explore. I'm fine with that. In fact, that stretches me, that helps me grow. So it's nothing out of the ordinary. John.
You have spirit guides, you have flesh guides.
Do you have what?
Flesh guides.
You mean for different?
Talk about spirit guides. Flesh guides.
Oh, you mean in the flesh?
That direct us towards the flesh.
You mean actual physical people? It's okay.
Just thinking the opposite of spirit guide. Flesh guide. Could be spirit also.
When I speak of spirit guides, it means that they're non-corporeal, they don't have bodies. So when you speak about flesh guides, I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Just like it'd be spirit also if they would guide you towards the flesh. Eat that extra
donut. Oh. I think there's a difference between my guides and my appetites, okay? It's not like one of the old images of, you know, having an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. Okay. It's not like the angel on one side, that's my spirit guide, and the devil's my, you know, the one who kind of keeps me locked in the material world or feeds my appetites. This is more like, well, somebody asked me this, and I'm not sure whether it was Sunday or maybe Tuesday night, about the guys that were being connected with Paul's work. And somebody asked, you know, are they, what are they, how are they? And they expressed themselves in one of the books of saying, some, first of all, as a collective, they say you can call us anything you want to, but the name that we usually go by is Melchizedek. Melchizedek is an Old Testament priest king, whom you can look up if you want to, but you're not going to get a whole lot of information about him. And what they said was, now some of us have incarnated in planet Earth. We've had bodies before. Some of us have incarnated in other dimensions, and some of us haven't had physical bodies at all. So we're getting a lot of information and a lot of guidance from spirit beings, beings who don't have a body right now, that have a lot of different points of view or ways of looking at things. And the question I was dealing with here was that our spirit guides are, we have them as well as Paul does. And they can speak to us just as strongly as they do through these books. The ego has a lot of disguises it can wear. Even the ego can disguise itself as a spirit guide if it wants to. And the essential difference that I'm working with, or that I work with here, is asking myself that very simple question. Is the information that I'm getting here, does it open my heart or does it close my heart? Does it feed my sense of separateness or separation, or does it open me up more fully to unity consciousness? And for me, that's how I tell the difference. I don't have to label that and say, you know, the part of me that's asking for the extra donut, or the part of me that's grabbing the extra donut before somebody else does, which is even more likely for me anyway. That'd be like, who is it? Oh, Flip Wilson. Remember him? The devil made me do it. That's sort of that kind of line, right? In other words, it's my ability not to take responsibility, all right, for something that I don't want to take responsibility. Somebody else or something else made me do it. But the realization we're saying here is that it's you. And you, you know, I am making this decision one way or another. And I need to take responsibility for that. My spirit guide is not going to say, don't take that donut. My spirit guide is going to say, you take that donut anyway, whether you can take it if you want to, right? Just know that there are always consequences to your actions.
Maybe that's when discernment comes in.
Pardon me?
Maybe that's when discernment comes in.
Yeah, that's where I'm deciding for myself, you know, is this, when I say good, is this healthy? Is this good for me or is it not?
Right. The higher consciousness, the higher part of us.
And sometimes that's difficult to hear with all the noise. Donuts can make a lot of noise. So I'm on page 157, day 9. Did Jerry, that answer your question a little bit, John?
Jerry, can I jump in for a moment, please?
Oh, hang on a second, John. Sure. I have another John here.
Okay.
When you have an aha moment inside and I guess aligned with the truth that you see, that in the spirit of God.
That's John was speaking about having these aha moments of realization. Was that a spirit guide? I think that's more of us being in alignment with the truth. The guides suggest what alignment is like, and they can sort of push you towards that, but they don't make that happen. My aha moments come when I find myself in alignment with a deeper truth that I had not realized before. Nobody or nothing is doing that for me. That's sort of a I want to say self-induced. When I say self, I mean self with a capital S. It's my higher consciousness that's sort of breaking through a barrier that might have been there before. Okay. So it's me, but it's me with a capital M. And somehow it's my vibration being raised through my realization of a higher vibration that I did not have access to before. Now, why or how that happens is somewhat mysterious. Why in one moment do I have a breakthrough and another moment that seems exactly the same that I don't? The way Ram Dass described it, he said, if when you are ripe, when you are ready for alignment or realization, a leaf falling from a tree is enough to wake you up. The beauty of it or the silence of it or whatever we want. He said, but when you're not ripe, when you're not ready, the whole tree can fall on you. It's not going to make a difference. So it is the self that is responding, right? But it's the self with a capital S, and it's responding in a way that maybe we had not realized was even possible for us before. So it's not an outside entity doing that for me. They can help pave the way. How did John the Baptist, when he came out of the desert, was quoted from the book of Isaiah, was suggesting that my part of my path here is to make the rough ways smooth and the crooked ways straight. so they're easier for you to travel. Now, you still have a choice of getting on the crooked road if you want to, right? Or getting on the one that isn't straight anymore. My job is to kind of help smooth the pathway for you to walk on. If you choose to do that, it's still your choice. So I'm making it easier for you if you want to choose that easier way of doing things. But you're still making that choice yourself. John.
So I had an aha moment when you talked about the head versus the heart and the insights for each. I'm going through a period where I am choosing to set aside time each day to study, and what I am, and I'm really finding time. I'm finding time to read Emmett Fox. I'm listening to Neville Goddard, and I am listening to a podcast by Father Michael Schmitz, the Bible in a Year podcast, which I'm not sure I recommend to anybody, but because it takes 20 to 30 minutes to listen to this thing every day. But what's really interesting about that, I didn't get it. And why am I still doing this after 138 days or something? But because it's Catholic, but I got it when you talked about that. Because what I'm getting out of it is, on these very dry readings, like Chronicles, all these lists of names and all this stuff, what he does is he will say, now here's his, yes, I know it's dry and all this stuff. He will say, here's what you may not have remembered or recognized. And he will talk about what's in the reading, and then he will link it to something else that we already read. But then he will talk about the meaning of it and why it's in there. And he will link it, and then he will somehow twist it to make it very meaningful and heartfelt. And every day, somehow he touches my heart. Mm-hmm. And that is why I still listen to him. And there's a book that accompanies it and all this stuff. But it is just fascinating. The other thing is, when I'm reading Emmett Fox, he's got some books that he dives into all these, well, this in the Bible means this, and this means that. And I start yawning, and I'm not sure I want to keep going. But then somehow he twists it, and all of a sudden I go, aha! And oh, that's why that's important, and it touches my heart. And I mean, it just, it's got to be a balance. Sometimes you have to know something intellectually in order for it to touch your mm-hmm. heart. Mm-hmm. That's my experience now. And so I'm very grateful for that. So just thought I'd share that. Thank you.
Thanks, John. I think for many of us, and I certainly include myself here, is that getting a, what I call sort of an intellectual hook or an intellectual framework of understanding something is the beginning of allowing myself to kind of go make that leap to a higher consciousness realization. In fact, the guides talked about this in the first book, I Am the Word. They said, you know, we could teach you all of this simply on a vibrational level without even using words. But since you are so oriented to your intellectual side of learning that we decided to put it in print first, we decided to give you a book, or more than, we actually decided to give you about 12 books now, right? We decided to give you a book. So it what it does is it kind of sucks your intellect in, gives it something to chew on, right? And while the intellect is distracted chewing on something, we'll give you a piece of higher wisdom. It will allow you to be open to that. And that's one of the things, I discovered that myself years ago when I was doing retreat work, that for me, and I was doing it for myself as well as for other people, that I found what was really helpful to me was, first of all, having somewhat of an intellectual framework for things so that my mind could either be distracted or make that leap into higher consciousness. I started with the higher consciousness stuff at first, right? For a lot of people, including myself, at least in the beginning stages, there was no way, I did not have the way or the means or the ability to really take that in yet. Got to engage the mind first, and then it was able to kind of leap forward. I'm beginning on page 157, day 9. And again, I'm going to ask you guys to apply just what we talked about of knowing that there's going to be a human understanding that goes with this, which is fine. But at the same time, we are not really talking to your intellect. We are speaking to your soul. We ask you questions today about your lives and requirements for growth as you perceive them. You know that that's rather limited, but it's true. You perceive yourself in need. I need a new house. I need a lover. I need a place to be where I am welcome. I need to sign in on Sunday morning. I need to be, if I'm not there, something bad's going to happen. I'll miss something. But you don't interrogate the needs in light of what we have taught you thus far. In other words, you don't question the need. The need takes over, like John's donut, okay? The donut takes over, right? Without me even realizing. In fact, that's all I can think about right now is donuts, all right? It'd be like if somebody said to you, okay, don't think about polka-dotted teddy bears, okay? All you're going to think about is polka-dotted teddy bears. It's why, you know, when I was doing manifestations of trying to give up smoke, somebody said, well, you know, even if your affirmation is wonderful and about not smoking, right, all your mind hears is smoking. So actually what you're doing without even realizing is just kind of reinforcing that negativity. You have to have another way of putting that to the universe, right, that allows you to not get sucked into that negativity or the thing you're trying to get rid of. As you are growing in most cases, you determine a path you think you should, and underline think. You might underline should too if you want to. There's nothing wrong with thinking, but it is not what you are knowing. And in your knowing, and as soon as you act upon your knowing, you claim identity in action, depending upon where you're coming from. Now, this must be understood. You perceive yourself as you are. I'm the man in the chair speaking to the gods. I am the woman on the telephone hearing the transcript in motion. I am the person sitting in their living room, drinking coffee, listening to Jerry in my Sunday morning class, or I'm sitting here in person. See, we're all, and I'm doing that. I'm doing that when I stop to think about it. Oh, I'm here reading from a book, but that's not really what's happening. I mean, that's happening in the physical realm, but there's a lot more going on. You are in identification through the self as you are in your being. But in this very moment, you are doing much more, or much more is happening. You are perceiving, and the perception that you hold, those things you see and understand in this way, are being brought to you and being claimed by you through your personality self. In other words, your limited understanding. Now we've begun to lift your vision. And you understand yourself as the one choosing in identity. In other words, yes, I'm someone sitting here in a chair, sitting here in this group, or sitting at home, right, looking at page 158 in the book of Mastery. Okay. but I also know there's much more going on. In fact, what each one of us has done, either consciously or unconsciously, we signed in this morning, is I am opening myself up to receiving the deepest truth I can receive this morning. However that shows up. We've all done that, including myself. Now we've begun to lift your vision, and you understand yourself as the one choosing an identity. You're not just stuck with an old identity that your mind's creating. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. What you are bringing to you is certainly in accord with the claim, but you are not perceiving it as such. You see your dilemmas. Oh, I've created another disaster. Oh, woe is me. You see your identity as it is reflected back by others. She doesn't want to have a date with me. He's not the man I want to know. And you are still creating from the smaller self in spite of the claims you have been making. So don't be fooled by saying to yourself, well, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, and all of a sudden, those are magic words that all of a sudden turn into higher consciousness. Those are just words. They're nice words. They mean well. But are they really reflective of the energy of transformation? The perception of the Christ as you must be understood now. And must be understood so you don't fool yourselves into a blasphemy. And we use the word blasphemy intentionally. I see the one before me with the eyes of the Christ when I like what I see is a false teaching. I see the one before me with the eyes of the Christ when I am feeling good about myself is a false teaching. The manifestation of God as you that is able to perceive does not decide what is worthy. She knows all, underline that word all, are worthy of being seen in their divine worth. The subjugation of the aspect of the self that would like to judge is not the solution here. In other words, when I want to enter the higher consciousness, I don't just push judgment away and say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. You don't just push your because that's just your judgment pushing away judgment. That's just your smaller self trying to push away your smaller self, which doesn't really work terribly well. The subjugation of this aspect of self that would like to judge is not the solution here. I know I don't like that woman. I know I dislike that man, but I will see the divine in them anyway, is not the way this works. You are not doing that. When you are lifting your vision, you cannot have a cellar full of dirt that you are assuming is not there. And you might feel a little bit caught up in this, a little bit tight, a little bit tense. It's okay, help is on the way. We have taught you about judgment in prior teaching. And as we have often said, what you judge, you fear. And what you fear, you judge. But the claim you are making now, I see with the eyes of the Christ, is a being, an essence. Not just a thought, not just an idea, not just a wish. It is a reflection of the essence of truth. What you judge, you fear, but the claim you are making now, I see with the eyes of the Christ, is a being. It is a being, a way of being in process, in action as the Word, and the manifestation of God in man. You can call the Word if you wish. We have often said and will continue to say that the Word, and underline that, is the energy of the Creator in action, and that is you when your fullness has been claimed. Sit with that for a minute. I can honestly say at this moment, I can think about someone I can't stand on a physical level, on a material world level. Some person that kind of digs up all of the anger and resentment and fear and sense of separateness and outrage. And at the same time, I can allow myself to be literally reflective of, I see, or let me put it this way, I know the Christ in you. And I am saddened by your pain. I don't know whether there's anything I can say or do that would change that for you. Now, here's an interesting thought. I can imagine in my mind going up to this person and embracing him. And even opening my heart in compassion to his pain. What I am having a difficult time with in this moment is allowing him to embrace me. Even though he might be wrapped up in his smaller, limited consciousness, it's not the physical body that he is. Allowing his reflection, whether he knows it or not, of divine consciousness to embrace me and for me to accept that. Whereas sometimes everything about me just wants to push him away. See, here's the difference. When I am embracing him, I'm in charge. And that's not my higher self that's in charge either. When I am allowing myself to be embraced, my lower self has nothing to say about that. My lower self is not in charge. As much as it wants to push him away, I allow myself to be embraced by that being. I'm not suggesting that's easy.
Sure.
Let me see if I got anything else. Let me just read that last sentence again. We have often said and will continue to say that the Word, I am the Word, the Word. The Word is with God, the Word was God, the Word is you. And underlying that is the energy of the Creator in action. And that is you, when your fullness has been claimed. That is you when your fullness has been claimed. Yeah, Jim?
Yeah. I was speaking to a close friend last night. Basically what would happen is that her ex did some really terrible things. Just to her, but to their daughter. At this point, he is in prison. You know, possibility of ever getting out. and we just have just a conversation and about forgiveness. And she's not there. I understand that. So I said to her, I suggested, can you be willing, this a willingness to forgive him and for all that he did? And response was, again, honest response, I don't know. And it's that which is there within her comes up at times in other ways in terms of it comes out. So again, I just kind of thought of us and thought of this class. And I just suggested, can you be willing? Because it was a not a very good thing for mm-hmm. having to mm-hmm. follow. So,
thank you, Jim. I think that I have to have an incidence like that. Like you're describing, I have to have a certain amount of healing in order to be able to release or forgive. If I am still, and again, I'm not blaming anybody for this. It takes work to do this, obviously. But if I am still wrapped up or dealing with my own pain, I really don't have the ability. I can say the words, I forgive you. But I really don't have that. I don't have that ability yet. That's why willingness is so powerful and so important here.
Jerry, that's exactly what she said. I'm paraphrasing. She said, I, my life is going well right now, and I'm not wanting to go there yet.
Okay, I'm not ready to go there again. Okay. Maybe another way of putting it.
Okay.
I'm working on growing. I'm working on healing. I don't need to go back to my woundedness right now, because it might take me over again like it did before. So that might be a very wise decision. But at the same time, I want to be ready to be able to release, to forgive, to let go when I am able and ready to do that. So thank you for that.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Did you get that about the separation of your pain from another person? And it does have to do with me, just like smell. When this friend girl, she always wore this damn perfume, this perfume that just, gave me a headache. And each time I'd see her, you know, it just made me back away. It was causing a separation between us. So I had to look at that. And I looked at it and went back to, and I did go back to my woundedness. And in my woundedness, when I was being abused, this abuser smelled. And he reeked of alcohol. And he sweated out through his pores. So I had to bring that forward. This was God trying to teach me my part of this in my journey. I had to look at her, and I saw what I saw was, maybe she thinks if she smells better, I'll like her better.
Okay.
And I saw that. I saw that. And I wanted to embrace her.
Okay. Thank you. Can I ask you to put your stuff down? Close your eyes, get comfortable. Take a couple of deep breaths. I'm thinking of the words of Jesus when he said, "Be not afraid, little flock, for I have overcome the world. There's nothing that I can't do. There's nothing that you can't do when you are in your higher consciousness, when you are identified with the truth of who you are." Even though we are working on higher consciousness, at the same time, we are cleaning up some of the messes we have made here on planet Earth. We are also taking care of our healing. And the healing of others, we can. So we are not throwing away one world for the other. Mother Teresa didn't spend her whole life in the chapel. Gandhi didn't stay in the temple meditating all day. Thomas Merton, as much as he loved solitude, was called to be a teacher in the outside world. And so here we are in both worlds, the world of matter, the world of the spirit. What is it within me today that I am being called to heal or to release or to transform or any combination of those three? There could be many things. Let one of them just come into your consciousness. Or it might be, oh, you again. What is there that is asking you this day to heal, to release, to transform? And know that whatever it is that you choose, that you will be given the means to be able to get that work done. And once you allow that work to be finished, let it go. I am willing. Notice your breathing again. Coming back into consciousness of having a physical form. If you care to be grateful for whatever it is you need to be grateful for this morning. Deep breath. Stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready. I know for some of you, this is your church on Sunday morning, so thank you for being here physically as well as electronically, and look forward to seeing you again soon. Be
thank
nice.
Thank you very much, Jerry, and everyone.
Be kind to yourself. Be gentle.
Namaste.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Thanks, Jerry.
You're welcome, guys.
See you. I love you guys.
Bye.
Yeah.